nor are we like Muslims. We're not talking here about reigning, conquering by the sword in the New Testament. Rather, our Lord Jesus told us that we are to turn the other cheek and that we are to pray for our enemies. And yes, we are to pray for meekness, humility, charity, love. These are Christian graces. These are things that should characterize you and me. The likeness of the Lord Jesus should be in our lives. But do not confuse personal meekness for spiritual weakness.
Thank you for joining with us again here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and from my heart to yours, I trust there will be a message from the Bible for your soul that will build you up in the faith and that will lead you to a closer walk with God. The message today is on total commitment. It is the story of the Israelites as they crossed over into the Promised Land. The first thing that they needed to do at the place called Gilgal was to be circumcised. Now, that was the mark of their consecration to God, and every Christian needs to be sold out to God. And I trust you'll stay tuned and listen into the message here today, that it will bless you richly. Joshua 5.
Our Bible reading today is in Joshua chapter 5. The book of Joshua chapter 5. Now, remember that we got into this book because in July we had a vacation Bible school. And this was the chapter or the book for the whole week of teaching the boys and girls. And I must say, the Lord did a work in my own heart. The Lord gave me a sense of need for the victory that we read about in this book of Joshua. And the thing we learn is that we can't receive the possessions without fighting for them. Yes, Christians are to be fighters full of faith, entering into the land and claiming it, taking it for God and pleading all the promises. Now, it's one thing to have a little promise box and pick out the promise, but we have to plead them, and we have to be willing to fight for them by taking those steps that are right with God. Here in chapter 5 in the book of Joshua, we have the children of Israel on the other side of Jordan, and they're soon to fight. But there's something that needs to be done first. We want to read that here in Joshua 5. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on this side of Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Our Father, we thank thee for this time that we have in your house today. And Lord, we have come to set ourselves to seek thee and to know thy help in our Christian lives. And Lord, my prayer is that every brother and sister in this congregation will enter into a life of victory, that we will learn the things that come to us here in this book of Joshua that will bring us to the victory side, and give us power with God and with men. And Lord, I pray that none will be bypassed or lose the power of God in their lives. Now help us, minister to us, and give unction, I pray, in the pulpit, but also give receptive hearts. May the Holy Spirit fall upon us now. Come, blessed Spirit of the living God, breathe upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This chapter 5 in the book of Joshua is the lull before the storm. You have heard of that? You know, there's an eerie feeling. Nothing's happening. Not even a leaf is moving. There's a storm coming. Well, here in chapter 5, they are just days away from their very first battle. Now, remember, these people have been 40 years in the wilderness. They know nothing about fighting. And they've got to fight. This is survival. This is the only way that they can claim the possessions that are given to them. Those cities that are built, those wells that are dug, those vineyards that are already planted, all are promised. But they got to fight. They got to fight. And here they have landed on the other side of Jordan after the miracle of God stopping up the waters, reaching to the city of Adam, and they're all across. And they've built their memorials, those stones at Gilgal, kind of a prairie flat area along the side of the River Jordan. And over there is Jericho, the first major city, walled, fortified. And that's the next step. But before they do it, there's something that needs to take place. Maybe you feel a lull in your life as a Christian. You say, well, you know, once my Christian life was so exciting. It was so blessed. It seemed that every day was a new step of progress. But these are days when nothing's happening. Remember that the book of Joshua teaches the reader about victory must be fought for. And Christianity is not a yoga-like religion. It's not just a religion of empty-mindedness. It's a religion of fighting spiritual battles. Paul the Apostle gave that great illustration of the Christian armor. Put it on. There's a real devil. There's an enemy, and there are battles to be fought as Christians in the Christian life. Nor are we like Muslims. We're not talking here about reigning, conquering by the sword in the New Testament. Rather, our Lord Jesus told us that we are to turn the other cheek and that we are to pray for our enemies. And yes, we are to pray for meekness, humility, charity, love. These are Christian graces. These are things that should characterize you and me. The likeness of the Lord Jesus should be in our lives. But do not confuse personal meekness for spiritual weakness. There are spiritual battles to be fought, not with swords, but with the sword of the Spirit, by prayer, by the means of grace, by the preaching of the word, by the prayers of God's people, by the church coming together to plead with God for his grace and his power, to raise up a witness in a wicked world where we will be little lights for Christ. These are the spiritual battles that every believer, every Christian is called to take part in. But as we learn here in Joshua 5, there has to be the rolling away of the reproach of Egypt. If you go down to verse 9, you will see the big issue here. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Egypt. Now, I thought Egypt was history now. 40 years out of it. They've crossed the Red Sea and they've crossed the Jordan. What do they have to do with Egypt anymore? Baggage. They brought something of the baggage of Egypt with them. And remember that they were for hundreds of years, the Israelites were under the heel and the reign of the Egyptians. Those years were years of slavery when they must submit and bow and obey and follow the line and have the right attitude of a slave. And that changed these people. And while they were out of Egypt, Egypt was not completely out of them. And so here we read about the rolling away of the reproach of Egypt. Now, something happened that was a terrible neglect. For 40 years, the children of Israel had been traversing the wilderness, and none had been circumcised all those years. They had totally neglected it. Prior to that, everybody that came out of Egypt had been circumcised, but now it had been neglected. And God commanded them, before you go to Jericho, before you go to battle, circumcise. And they obeyed. And when they did obey, the Lord pronounced, the Lord said here in verse 9, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from of you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Gilgal in the Hebrew language means rolling, rolling. And the shame, the reproach, the stigma of Egypt was lifted off, rolled away from these people so that God could now come in grace and fill them and fit them for battle. And you're saying, preacher, that's a great history lesson, but what has that got to do with me in Cloverdale coming to church today? Well, let me give you the key. Gilgal. In the Hebrew language, the oldest Hebrew language, there were no vowels, just consonants. So this would be in the Hebrew G-L-G-L. Gilgal in the Hebrew is the same as Golgotha. If you take the vowels out of Golgotha, you just get the same consonants. And so what we're dealing with here is really a type or a picture of Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the rolling away of the reproach. It is the place where our sin is removed, and where worldliness and the love of the world and the stigma of the world and our loyalty to the world is rolled away. Have you been to the cross? If not, you still have your sin. You still have the reproach of the world. You still are in the place where God cannot bless. You must go to the cross. And you say, preacher, yes, I'm converted. I'm saved. I've been to Calvary. I've pleaded the blood of Jesus. But do you go to the cross every day? Because the consecrated life, and that's what we're looking at here in this chapter, is consecration to God, loyalty to God, is displayed by taking up the cross. You remember how Jesus put that? That you cannot follow me except you're willing to take up the cross and follow me. And what does the cross do? The cross is what kills the love of the world. And it is the world in your heart, the world in your life, that brings reproach to God. And that world has to be mortified, put to death. The lust of your flesh, the lust of the world must be put away. And you can only do that by going to the cross, going to Calvary. I feel that I've already preached the sermon. It's over. What more could we possibly say on this? Do you get it? There is today a type of liberal Christianity, worldly-friendly Christianity, contemporary Christianity, however we word it, that tries to befriend the world, that tries to not draw the line between the old life and the new life in Christ. They want a merging. They want to allow and tolerate and permit the old life and merge it with the new somehow. Oh yes, they talk about Christ, they talk about Jesus, they talk about Christianity, they talk about living a new life, but they're not willing to mortify the lusts of the flesh and bear the reproach of the cross. It's a different kind of Christianity. And those who go to the big mega churches and those who go to the big ministries and the popular scenes where they have the modern way of worship, and that could be any style. Not only do they have different instruments and different ways of leading worship, but they have an attitude where they allow for the world to exist. The preacher will talk about movies. He will talk about beer, alcohol. I don't know what he's going to do with marijuana. Without excess, perhaps, that's what they'll do. The worldly church will have the preacher dress as if he's going to the beach. It's a different attitude. The seed of it began about 10 years ago when they had called the emergent church. Instead of bringing the world up to the standard of Christ and his church, it was a new method of let's go down and merge with the worldly way. And it took off. We have across North America countless ministries that have huge numbers of success by numbers, who present this way of religion. But you know what? It doesn't change society, and it doesn't change lives. There are some conundrums, I admit. We have churches who do all these things, and yet they preach the Bible and they preach the gospel. But all of these things are just left hanging. As I read Joshua 5, I am challenged today to present to you the way of victory in your life. The only way of victory in your life. The only way to live fit to do battle for God in a sinful world. That brings me to the message here today, and that is this consecration. We're going to take circumcision as the picture of consecration. There's the reason for it, the meaning of it, and the timing of it. Now, verse 7 is the reason, and that is that it was neglected. For all those years in the wilderness, it had not been practiced. Their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. Now that was a sad neglect. And so many who were born in the wilderness had not been circumcised. They were neglect. Also, this covenant still stood. This was still the sign and seal of a covenant with God, and it was still in place. God had not changed his way of dealing with national Israel. And God required the same commitment of this generation as the prior generation. And that's the point. That's the point. You see, our spiritual forefathers, you could go back to the reformers or the evangelists, but even our parents or grandparents, you know how they lived for Christ. Yes, they were strict. They were biblical. They were seeking to live godly. Churches were filled. They were filled in the mornings, they were filled in the evenings, and the prayer meetings were also well filled. Church life used to be the core, the center of life itself. People actually bought homes near the church or in the community that they could easily attend and attend frequently. There was commitment to the cause of Christ. Now, this circumcision goes way back to Abram. And as the people of God who came out of Egypt, they were to continue this commitment. And it was the way of a covenant people to show their loyalty to God, that they were Israel, and that they were in union and fellowship with God. It was meaningful because it meant that they were coming under the wings, under the care of God. And so this was a declaration of their commitment. Now, I think this is a good time for us to talk about commitment to the Lord's church today. And I can only talk about this congregation because this is where God has placed me, and this is where we welcome you to come and worship with us. Let me ask you, how long have you been a professing Christian? How long? But are you a committed, surrendered Christian? If someone was to look at your life with a pair of binoculars, would they come to the conclusion, boy, this person's really sold out for the Lord, to His Word, His kingdom, His church, to the ministry of the gospel, to prayer, to baptism, and membership in the church? Commitment. Commitment. Somehow it's not a popular word these days. Commitment. Consecration. Loyalty. Surrender. Obedience. It all comes up right here. Now, those who stood for God in past times had that commitment. They didn't play fast and loose with church life or with the cause of Christ. They were all out. Now, this circumcision was necessary because Egypt, or the fleshly love of Egypt, robbed them of liberty. This Gilgal, meaning rolling, was really the liberating of God's people. And you see, that's what consecration to the Lord does. That's what obedience to the Lord does. You become liberated. All the entanglement of Egypt, all the threads of the world, and all the claims of the world, and all the loyalty to the world, broken. And you are now set free as the Egyptians were out of Egypt. Let my people go that they might worship me. And this consecrated life, this committed life to Christ and His cause, is really the great mark of freedom. You see, the world is like weeds. They creep in on us. Sometimes you don't even realize that weed growing. But we're commanded over and over in the Bible and warned in the Bible to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can't have it both ways. It's either or. How is it with you? Are you in love with the world? Or are you pressing on to have in your life the love of the Father?
Allow me to speak just a little word again on the value and the inerrancy of the Word of God. And I quote again from Dr. Ian Paisley on his book, Why I Believe the Bible. He says, as the Bible has stood the hottest broadsides of hell, it will not be affected by the pop guns of modernism. In the past, Voltaire thought he had demolished it and boasted that in 100 years Christianity would be a museum piece. As a result, infidelity ran riot in France. Voltaire, however, passes screaming into eternity. But the Bible has not passed away. Moreover, Voltaire's printing press was used to print the very scriptures which he boasted he had demolished, and his house became a depot for the Geneva Bible Society. Does God ever have the last laugh when man in his wrath turns against God? And so the Bible is the Word of God, which remains with the passing of injuries of time, a temple unprofaned by the foot of the enemy, a building of God amidst the crumbling ruins of the centuries. I couldn't say it better myself, so I quote the one who is the author of this, Dr. Ian Paisley, Why I Believe the Bible is the Word of God. I wonder today, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? That means that when you open the page and you read that and read it to your own heart, that it's God speaking to you. Well, that's really the only way to read the Bible. Otherwise, you are exercising unbelief and doubt and dismissing it as God's message to you. And so I trust that today, that you will begin a new commitment to the value and to the personal message of God to your soul, written in the Bible. Stay tuned now as we bring these final announcements. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website, www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.